Today's shir is L'zeicha Nishmas, Rabbi Yehuda Leib and Rabbi Shmuel. Today's shir is Masechta Tanis Daf Lamed Aleph. As Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, we are Masayim Masechta Tanis, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Amid Beis, 10 lines from the wide lines. Begins the Gemara Amram Shimon Gamliel. We learned in the Mishnah, Lo'yayom Tovim L'Yisrael. There were no greater Yom Tovim in Klal Yisrael, Chamisha Asa B'Av, like Chamisha Asa B'Av, and like Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, Bishlama Yom Kippurim, why Yom Kippur is such a great Yontif is very understandable. Mishum the Isbe, Slicha Mechila. It's the day that we were forgiven for our Averis, as the Pasuk says, that Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the day every year that we are forgiven for the averus that we've done, going back to the midbar when Klal Yisrael did the avera with the cheto egel, and Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Shemayim and he brought the luchos shniyos representing that we had a kaparas averus. Yom, because it was yom shenetem baluchos achrayinus, it was a day that we received the second set of luchas. Ask the Gemara, El Chamosh Mesubav, when we speak about Chamish Asubav, ask the Ramayhi, what is so special about this day? The Gemara points out that Yorabin, the Yaakov, gives two reasons why Yom Kippur is such a great Yontif. One reason it gives is because it was the Yom Slicha Mechila, it's the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave us for all of our averus. And the other reason is because it was the day that we got the Luchas Achroinus. And the reason they explain, the Gemara had to give two reasons, is because the Gemara, the Mishnah, as we just learned, begins with a very powerful statement. The Mishnah doesn't just say that Yom Kippur is a Yontif. The Mishnah says there was no greater Yontif than Yom Kippur. And that's what forces the Gemara to assume what makes Yom Kippur such a special Yontif that it was greater than all other Yom Tovim. And the Gemara says, because it had these two things happen on that day, that's the reason it's mentioned. The Gvura Sari says, the reason the Gemara gives these two reasons, because as we learned at the end of the Mishnah says, Yom Chasunasoi, Yom Simchas Libai. So Gemara described these days as Yom Chasunasoi, is two reasons why it's such a great Yontif. So once the Mishnah described that this day is a great day because it's Yom Chasunasoi, V'Yom Simchas Libai, the Gemara had to find the two reasons it should be called Yom Chasunasoi or Yom Simchas Libai. But ask the Gemara, El Chamisha Asba'av Mayhi, what is so special of Chamisha Asba'av? Answers the Gemara, Yom Shehutru Shvatim Lava Zeh B'Zeh. It was a day that the Shvatim were allowed to get intermarried, because the Torah speaks about a case where somebody doesn't have any sons, only daughters, and when they were dividing up Eretz Yisrael, the daughters, if they have no sons, the daughters are going to get the Yerusha. But if the daughters are going to get the Yerusha, we know that whenever a wife passes away, if she even before her husband, or even if she doesn't pass away before her husband, her sons will be her yarshim. Her sons don't follow her shevet. Her sons follow the shevet of her. Her sons follow the shevet of her husband. So now, if she gets married to somebody from a different shevet, and now she'll pass away, her sons will get the yerusha. And it'll turn out that the Yerusha will be transferred from one Shevet to the second Shevet. So that's why it turns out, in order to avoid that, the first generation that got a share in Eretz Yisrael were told that that should not happen. And they were told that they should marry only within their Shevet. This was a parasha that was said to the Benois Tzolofchot. So they were limited. These women were limited to who they can marry. Then, after that first generation, they allowed them to get married with other Shvatim. And therefore, And as the Ramban explains, it was only that generation that where they had just divided Eretz Yisrael, and they didn't want, as they're just dividing Eretz Yisrael, immediately the share of a certain Shevet, it should never even get his share. That immediately it should go to a different Shevet. So in order to avoid such a circumstance, Chazal, they said that the first generation should remain get married within the Shevet. Afterwards, they weren't so concerned, and afterwards they could get married into another Shevet. So once that was already established, and we know everybody's share is, then we're not so considered. So the Mashal asks, why is this such a big yontif? If indeed this Shevet gets less, but the other Shevet gets more. So the Mashal says it's not the fact that this Shevet gets more or this Shevet gets less, which is the consideration in the Gemara. The Mashal says the consideration in this Gemara is that we were limiting who these girls can marry, because these girls of the first generation can only get married within their Shevet. In order that they should, now when we allow that they could get married into another Shevet, that is the biggest yontif. My Darish, how did they come to this understanding that limitation was only the first generation? Says the Gemara, because the Pasuk says, Zeh dova shetziv Hashem lebnoi tzolofchid. To teach us, dova zeh, this halacha that they can't get married out of that Shevet is only lo'inoig el b'dar zeh. It's only for the first generation, not for any future generations. Am Rav Yosef, Am Rav Nachman. The big yontif was because Yom Shehut Shev Ben Yamin lova b'kol. It was a day that Shev Ben Yamin could start marrying other people from other Shvatim. Shenema, the Pasuk says, V'ish Yisrael Nishba B'mitzvah Leima, Ish Rimena Lo Yitin, B'tai B'nyamel Ishai. That nobody can marry, let their daughters marry into the Shev B'nyanim. My drush, why? How did they come to say that this restriction was lifted? Amarav, Mimenu, only that generation of Leibanenu. And to give some background, there's a story of Pelegish Begiva, where the tyrant, where the Tanakh, and Shoiftim tells us there was an Ish Levi, Har Ephraim, was traveling from Beis Lechem back home with his Belegish. And on his way home, he went into the city of Giva, which is in the Shir of Binyamin in Eretz Yisrael. The people of that city came to the home where he was staying and demanded that he hand over his Pelegish to them. They violated that woman, and then they sent her back, and she died at the entrance of the home. When her husband saw this terrible event, he divided up that mace, his pelegish, into 12 pieces, and he sent that all around Eretz Yisrael to tell all the people in Klal Yisrael that they have an obligation to do something, how such a terrible thing happened. And all the Shvatim gathered together, and the people of Shev Binyamin refused to hand over the perpetrators of this terrible Avera, and it caused a civil war in Klal Yisrael. All the Shvatim of Klal Yisrael gathered to Mechamah Binyamin, which they ultimately prevailed on. And at that point, as we just learned, they made a Shvua that nobody is allowed to enter marry within Shev Binyamin. But as the Ramban explains, whenever the Gemara Masech Nedarim often teaches us that when Nedarim holchem achal lashem ne'adam, when it comes to Nedarim, we follow the way people speak. So since when they said the Shvua, they said Mimenu, they were clearly saying that our children, but the Ramban adds that this Shvua lasted until the last of anybody was still alive from Shevet Binyamin. When they all passed away, which was a Tu B'Av, that's when they were allowed to intermarry. And the fact that they were able to intermarry at that point, that was such a big yontif that they were able they turned this into a yontif. And now the Mashal says, we understand, given the two reasons that the Gemara just gave, we understand why, as we learn our Mishnah Gemara, we see that this was a yontif particularly for the women than for the men. Because these were the Yom Tovim where women had more men they were able to marry. And since they had more opportunity to get married, that's why these date, Tu B'Av, became a yontif for women. The Sifsei Tzadik says the way to understand this Gemara is a little different. He explains that at the beginning, after they saw that Shev Ben Yamin had done this terrible thing, they thought that the best way to deal with such a circumstance is by being merachik, by furthering Shev Ben Yamin. But they came to the recognition that much more can be accomplished by drawing people close than by pushing them away. So at the beginning, they made a rule that nobody can marry into Shev Ben Yamin. But afterwards, they realized, on the contrary, if they want Shev Ben Yamin to do better in the future, if they want Shev Ben Yamin to do better in the future, let's get intermarried with them. And once we get intermarried with them, then we could get, then that will be a, that will be the way that we could get them to do better. I saw Rabbi Yechiel Alexander says the Gemara just gave two reasons why Tu B'Av is a yontif, and both reasons are connected because families were allowed to get remarried. So he says that when we create an environment of shalom, when we create an environment of people being able to intermarry and people able to connect with each other, there is no bigger simcha than that. And that's why the Mishnah very appropriately says the lo yom tovim, there were no greater yom tovim than Yom Kippur, which when we all have mechilas avoinus, it comes Yom Kippur, we all have to ask each other mechila, we all have to become closer, and Tu B'Av, when we're allowed to intermarry, become closer, live in peace, are the biggest Yom Tovim. Rabbi Balchana Amar B'Yochanan, Yom Shekol HaMeisim Midbar. It was a day that the Meisim Midbar stopped dying. Dom Amar, Achloi Kol HaMeisim Midbar, until the people from the Midbar stopped dying, Lo Yehoyedibar Moshe. There was no direct conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Vayhi Kashatama Kol Anshei Mechama Lamas, when all the people were of the age that they could go to war between 20 and 60 stopped dying, then, says the Pasuk, V'yadaba Hashem Elai Lamer. Elai HaYadibar at that point. The Medrash explains that every year, an Erev Tisha B'Av, Moshe Rabbeinu would make an announcement that everybody should go and dig a grave. And they would all lay down in that grave. And in the morning, whoever was still alive would get up. And whoever wasn't, obviously wasn't able to get up. In the 40th year that they were in the Midbar, they did the same procedure. But everybody got up in the next morning. But they started being concerned that maybe they made a mistake, and maybe it wasn't yet Tisha B'Av. So they kept on going into the grave every night until it was the 15th day of Av. On the 15th day of Av, which is right in the middle of the month, at that point, the moon is whole. And at that point, nobody could assume that it's Tisha B'Av. So at that point, they all realized that the terrible gzeira of dying every year had stopped. But the question is, why did that happen? So Rabbeinu Tam says that even though there were people that were supposed to die that year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a tremendous chesed, and those people who were supposed to die that year were forgiven and did not die. Another pshat is that the Tosfos Yontif suggests that they thought that who are the people that this gzeira applies to? It applies to anybody that was 20 and above as soon as they arrived in Midbar. But as we learned in a previous year, the story of the Meraglim only began in the second year after they left. And that's why they only counted from that year. And that was the mistake, that they thought people were supposed to die, but nobody really was supposed to die. Another pshat that Tosfos has in this is that people did die. This was the last group of people who passed away. And they passed away in Tisha B'Av, and they sat Shiva, and the Shiva ended in Tu B'Av. And they knew that once this Tisha B'Av, once this Shiva for people who died this year ended, there will never ever be again a Shiva for people who died because of this Gezeira. And that was a tremendous Simcha. And because they had that Simcha, that's how Tu B'Av became a Yontif. So the Pasuk says, to Eli Hoya Dibur, there was no Dibur with Moshe. So Rashi says, it doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not communicate with Moshe Rabbeinu all 40 years that were in the Midbar. Of course he did. But he didn't communicate with him in the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu usually communicates with Moshe Rabbeinu. As the Pasuk says, Adababai b'maravalai b'chidois, it was a very high level of communication. That wasn't in existence during all those years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, some suggest, only communicated with Moshe through a dream. Others say he only communicated through a malach or through the Urim V'Tumim. Another pshat that I saw is that all those years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only communicated with Moshe Rabbeinu if Moshe Rabbeinu had a question that needed immediate answer. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicated to Moshe Rabbeinu even if it wasn't something that had needed a pressing answer. Another pshat is that all those years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicated with Moshe Rabbeinu through the word Vayomer. At this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu began communicating with Moshe Rabbeinu through the word Vayedaber. Apparently, that's a higher level of communication. So Rashi seems to say that the reason this is a yontif, because people started dying. On the other hand, from the Gemara, it seems that the yontif is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu started communicating with Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Beis Dovid explains that actually these two historical facts travel together. Because the people from the Chet HaMeraglim stopped dying, that brought a simcha to Klal Yisrael. And once that simcha came to Klal Yisrael, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu directly. Ulamar, what is the special yontif of Tu B'Av? Yom Shabbat al-Hashir ben Elam, parasodisoy she'yishivim b'yirat, yiravim b'nevot al-drachim. It was a day that he stopped the guards that were standing on the highway, Shlal Yisrael l'regel. Rechavim ben Shlomo, in the time of Rechavim ben Shlomo, the Malchus, the kingdom of Klal Yisrael, was divided into two. Rechavim was the king of Yehuda, and Yeravim was the Melech of Yisrael. And Yeravim was very concerned that if Klal Yisrael will be oil regal to Yerushalayim three times a year, they're going to abandon him and all follow Rechavim. Because the halacha is, en yeshiva bazara, the only individual who may sit in the Azara, Ela Malka Bestabul Vad, only people from Shevet David. So in order to avoid them experiencing that and leaving him, he put up two guards and two Avodah Zaras, one in the north of Eretz Yisrael and one in the south of Eretz Yisrael, to prevent anybody from going to be Oyla Regal. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Kubeis of Manalov, teaches us, they said, Kola Oyla Regal, anybody who goes to be Oyla Regal, Yudoka Becherev, will be killed. And that day, when he stopped this, was a big yontif. What he said was, Leza Shiir Tzu Yalu. He said that everybody can now choose whichever way they could go. And as the Mashal explains, even though it wasn't that he still wasn't encouraging them to go to Yerushalayim, but the fact that they were able to go to Yerushalayim if they so wanted was already a tremendous simcha. Ramas Nama, Yom Shenitna Haruge Betel Kfura. The Yontif is the day the people of Betel were given the opportunity to be buried. Betel was a very large city that had thousands and thousands of Jews. And 52 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Roman Empire conquered that city and killed everybody in that city. And the Gemara Masechta Gittin, Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, says that there was so much blood spilled that it all ran into the Yam HaGadol. And for 7 years, the people, the Goyim who lived around that area, never had to fertilize their fields because the blood of all these people who were killed was perfect fertilizer. And the Gemara in Yerushalmi tells us that Andronius HaRosha had a huge field. There was the size of Yutches Mil, and they put all the people from Beter who were killed into that field. And Andronius HaRosha never allowed them to be buried. And it was a terrible disgrace to Klal Yisrael until, says the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, Rav Gamliel and his Bezdin in Yavna started to fast and started to bribe the government. And at that point, they allowed them to be buried. So the Karen Oyre asks, the story of Beter was after the Churban, as we just said, 52 years. Our Mishnah, which speaks about Tu B'Av being a Yontif, the Mishnah was written before the Churban. The Mishnah speaks about all different things, about the Kohen Gadol. So obviously, we're going to speak about that soon, about the daughter of the Zgan borrowing clothing from the Kohen Gadol. There was no Kohen Gadol after the Churban. So the Karen Oyre explains that our Mishnah, the Gvur Sari says, our Mishnah speaking really about Yom Kippur. That was the only Yontif that was a Yontif before the Churban. This Yontif that we're learning here was not a Yontif before the Churban. It was only a Yontif after the Churban. V'amar Masna, Oysi Yoyim Shnitna Harugi Betel Kvura, the day that the Harugi Betel were able to be buried, Tiknu B'Yavna, they established in Yavna that in Birchas HaMazon we say Hatoiv HaMeitiv, Hatoiv Shlo Yisrichu, that they did not decompose, V'Meitiv Shnitna L'Kvura. So the question, of course, is, why does that have to do with the Harugei Beter? So the answer is that Yayin, the Bracha of Toiv HaMeitiv is made on when one drinks wine. There are a number of halachas attached to that. It has to be that he drank one wine and now he's drinking a better wine, and he's drinking the second wine together with other individuals. So he makes a bracha HaToiv HaMeitiv. And since that's and that bracha is set on wine. And as we said a moment ago, these people from Beter were laying, unfortunately, in a kerem, were laying in a vineyard. So that's why we remember them when we make the bracha on wine. So Ritva says that what does that have to do with Birchas HaMazon? Because in Birchas HaMazon, we keep on thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the great things that he does for us. And this was also something that he did on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Rav Yosef Dami Tavayu, Yom Shepeskum Lichres Eitzel Marocha. There was a day that they stopped cutting wood for the Mizbeach. The Tanya Beleza Oimer, Mechamish Shavayis V'Elech Toshish Koicha Shulchama, from 15 days in and of, the sun starts getting weaker, and Lo Yekarsim Eitzel Marocha, so from that day, they stopped cutting wood for the Marocha, L'fish Einin Yuvashim. The wood is not that dry. You want to use good dry wood that will be good for the Marocha. So the question is, why is that a Yontif? So many explain, it's a Yontif like a Siyam. Just like every time we finish a Masechta, we make a Siyam. Here too, it's a Yontif that they finished doing this mitzvah. And in fact, I saw that the Cheshuki Chemed says that since we're saying that what was the yontif lichras eitzim, when you finish doing a mitzvah, that's when you make a yontif. So he says that that's why when somebody finishes any mitzvah project, it's appropriate to make a yontif. It's appropriate to make a yontif on that day. But then I saw another pshat that that the Rabbeinu Geshem says that as long as they were busy cutting wood for the Mizbeach, they couldn't spend more time learning Torah because they were busy cutting the wood. Once they finished cutting the wood, they had more time to learn, and that was the Yontif. So the question is that Chamish Asa B'Av, asks Rabbi Chanan the Kubbat Shiurim, is a date in a Jewish month. We know that the Jewish month is connected to the moon, not to the sun. So the question is, why is Tu B'Av, which is a date connected to the moon, being celebrated for when the sun gets weaker? So he says that since most years, even though Tu B'Av, which is a lunar date, at that time the sun is no longer that strong, and that's why we can make it a Yontif. The Yushalmi, however, says that that was one of the Nisim, that even though Tu B'Av is a lunar date, it was still the day that the sun was no longer so strong that it should make, that it should be, that the wood would be as dry as it was previously. Amar Menashe, Karolei, they would call that day Yoim Tavamagel. There was the day that they broke the saw, because that was the day that they no longer needed the saws to cut the wood. Mikav Veilich, it says the Gemara, after Tu B'Av, since they're no longer, as we just said, busy needing to have cut wood for the Mizbeach, the Maisif, somebody who and the nights start getting longer, the Maisif, somebody who spends more time at night learning Torah, Yosef, will be Zoycha Tarichas Yomim, and the Loi Maisif, and somebody who doesn't spend his nights in Torah learning, Yosef, should perish. My Yosef, Amrav Yosef, Tikbar Imei, his mother should bury him. So, since the nights get longer, what is it supposed to do at night? At night, you're supposed to learn. So I saw, what does that have to do with Tigbrei Ima? Because the Pasuk says, explains the Nafi Yosef, Shma b'nai Musa Avicha, v'al titoish Teresi Mecha. Musa Avicha refers to Teresh B'Ksav, and Teresi Mecha refers to Teresh B'Peh. So what a person is supposed to do at night is learn Torah Shabbat Peh. That's what they said Moshe Rabbeinu did when he was in Shemayim. During the days, he learned Torah Shabbat Ksav, and in the evening, he learned Torah Shabbat Peh. So that's why, now that we have more time at night to learn, it's connected to Torah Simecha. So he said, so we see from here that it's the day that we finish a mitzvah is a Siyim, it's a Yontif. And in fact, Rav Avadya Yosef Zatzal in the Shas of Tshuva Shabia Oyim Chelik Dalad or Rechaim Sim Yud Gimel suggests that if there's a shir that learns a Masechta together and they learn every day before Shacharis, if they don't, maybe shouldn't and then finish the Masechta, maybe that day they shouldn't say Tachnun, because as we're learning now in the Gemara, it's a tremendous simcha when somebody makes a Siyim on learning or on any mitzvah. So we learned what happened. We learned in the Mishnah that what happened on Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur, Shebehem B'Nois Yishalayim, the girls would go out with Kli Lovin Shulim, Shaloi Levais Misha'elim. Tan Rabbanim. So the Gemara explains exactly what happened that day. Bas Melech, She'elis B'Bas Kohen Gadol, the daughter of the king, always, everybody goes down one step. Everybody goes down one step. So the Melech is the number one. So his daughter borrows clothing from the Kohen Gadol's daughter. And Bas Kohen Gadol borrows clothing from the Bas Skan. The Skan Kohen Gadol was the one that would make an announcement as they went out to war. He would say, Shema Yisrael, Atnu Kreim Ayyem Mechama Ayvechem Ayar Elvachem. Bas Meshuch Mechama would borrow clothing from Bas Kohen Hedjet. The Kohen Yisrael Sha'al Mzeh Mzeh. And all the Jewish girls would borrow clothing from each other. Kedei Le'levayis Mishayin Le'i. Not to embarrass somebody else. And the Shem Shmuel makes a very powerful point. He says, the only job that the Meshuch Mechama had was that he set a pasuk to Klal Yisrael as they went to war and telling Klal Yisrael that what's so critical is that they should have Yerushamayim, Shema Yisrael, Ayerich Levavchem. Somebody who inspires Klal Yisrael to have Yerushamayim, there's nobody greater in Klal Yisrael than somebody who does that. Kol Kalim Tuna Tevila. We learned further that everybody's garments needed to put into mikveh. Says the Gemara, Amar Belaza, Afilu Mekupalim Mimnochim Bekufsa. Even if they're cleaned and then put away, they have to be put into the mikvah. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that even though the clothing seemed to be clean, and in those days they were very careful that their clothing should be tahor, because clothing that's not tahor, clothing that was worn by a woman when she was a nida, would be metame anybody who would wear it. Still, even though we see that somebody has clean clothing, we can't be confident that it was put into the mikveh properly. So in order not to embarrass anyone and not to start asking questions, did you clean it properly? Did you put it into the mikveh properly? They made a rule that is that everybody should put their clothing, everybody's clothing, into the mikveh. And another pshat is the Ran says that because people otherwise would be concerned, can I borrow this person's clothing? And the entire purpose of this day, explains the Ran, as we've been learning, is to create harmony amongst Klal Yisrael. This is not a way that we will create harmony amongst Klal Yisrael. So they just said, everybody should put their clothing into the mikveh, and there wouldn't be any question. So the cowboy asks a question. Is this the way how Jewish girls get married, that they go and dance, as we're going to learn, and everybody picks who they're going to take? So he suggests that, of course, this wasn't the standard procedure how Jewish girls should get married. Jewish girls got married, the parents found for them a proper shidduch. He's speaking here about people, girls, who are having difficulty getting married for the various reasons that we're going to learn. And because they were having difficulty getting married, Chazal wanted to do something to help them get married. So they created this procedure for women who were having difficulty getting married. It says the Gemara, indeed, as we learned in the Mishnah, B'nai Shisrael Yotzus V'chalas P'kramim, the Jewish girls would go out and dance in the vineyards. Tana Misha and La'isha, and we learned in the Braisa, anyone who did not have a wife, Nifna L'sham, that's where he would go, and that's where he would find his zivik. And the Mishnah learned, Miuchas Shibana Oimrais, there were different statements made by different women. And the Braisa elaborates, Tana Abonin, Yufyofi Shibahen, the pretty women, what would they say? Maya Imris, what would they say? Tunu Enechem L'Yoyfi. Look at how beautiful we are. Shein Isha El L'Yoyfi. The woman should get married, you should marry a beautiful woman. And as the Yavetz explains, because Chazal teaches us, Shloish Dvar Machiv and Dat Shlodim, the three things that cause a person to be in the proper state of mind. And one of them is Isha Noh, is a beautiful wife, and explains why. Because if somebody has a beautiful wife, she prevents him from doing averus, and therefore that is a way that this is somebody that they should want to marry. Miyuchas shebehen, the women who had a great yichus, ayayimrim tenu einechel mishpacha. Look at which family you're marrying to. Lefisha einisha elabonim. You're supposed to get married to have children, and somebody who marries, Rashi says, a woman who has a proper yichus, the children will also have a proper yichus. And the Tosfos Yontov says, somebody who has a proper yichus is more likely to be a Yerushimayim. Rashi also says, typically, someone who has a great yichus, more people are interested in marrying such a woman. The women who weren't so great, look at Maya Omer, Khu Mechem L'Shem Shemayim, marry L'Shem Shemayim, however, make sure to give us much money. What does it mean to Tatrenu B'Zehuvim? That, so one pshat that I saw is that if you'll give them money, they'll be able to buy nice clothing. And if they'll be able to buy nice clothing, that will make them more attractive. The Yavetz says that Chazal teaches, Kol B'nos Yisrael Nosein, all Jewish girls are really beautiful. El Shanias Mevnavson, because they're suffering from poverty, that affects their looks. But if you give them money and they won't be poor, then they'll be able to be attractive like all Jewish girls are. The El Yerabah says that this group would say, Shekra Achein, Vehevel Ayoyfi, Ishep, Yiras Hashem, Yir Etesalo. What were they saying? That these people people who marry these girls are making an announcement. They're making an announcement that the only thing that's important to us is the Isha Yiras Hashem. The only thing that what's important to us is what is the type of woman who we were marrying. And the person who doesn't look at any of the other trappings of the woman is showing that what's important to him, that what is truly important to him is Isha Yiras Hashem. And once you have that, then everything else is unimportant. Says the Gemara, Amar Ulu B'Ra, Amar B'Loza. Also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasis mochel l'tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Mitzvah Shem, is going to make a circle for the tzadikim. V'hu yoshu b'neim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to sit there in Gan Eden. V'kol echad v'echad mar b'etzboyei. And everybody who's in that circle is going to show, point with his finger. V'oimer, v'om, sh'nema, v'oimer b'yoyim ahu. Hine zeh kevino lo v'yoshenu. Zeh kev, zeh Hashem, nagilo v'nismucha b'yishua soy. So Rashi says that the pshat of a mochel is a circle, and just like, and the connection is that just like we spoke a moment ago about all the Jewish girls going out in a circle, here too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to sit in a circle. And the Alshach explains what the Gemara means to say here is that in Mitzvah Shem, when Mashiach comes from Herib Yomeinu, we will all be on such a high madrega that we will all be able to point to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Certainly, as we live in this world, we're not in the Madrega that we could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and point at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in Mitzvah Shem, when Mashiach comes, B'mheira B'yameinu, we will be on a much higher Madrega to the degree that we could point our fingers at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the Gemara means to teach here. Rabbeinu B'chaya says that just like a circle is round, it doesn't have a beginning and an end, so too the enjoyment that we're going to have when Mashiach comes is going to be at such a high level that we're going to be able to, that there won't be an end to it. Just like a circle doesn't have an end, so too our connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu will be infinite. Another pshat that the Sfasema says that kol echad ve'echad, every single person, marabetz boyad. So the Rabbi Kivega speaks about this as well. He says, in this world, every one of us has a different, every community have different menhagim, have different ways how they serve at Kadosh Baruch Hu. When Mashiach comes, says Rabbi Kivega, everybody's going to respect each other way. Zeh Hashem Kivinoloi. They're all going to say, as long as we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though my way is different than your way, we're all in a circle. We're all equal. We all don't make a difference. All of us just have one goal. We're looking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is our goal is to serve him. The Mashal points out, the Pasuk says, Hines Elkeinu Zeh Kivino Lo V'Yesheinu, Zeh Hashem Kivino Loi, Nagila V'Nismucha B'Yishua Soi. So he says the Pasuk mentions the Shem Hashem two times to teach us that no matter what situation Klal Yisrael is in, whether it's better situations, whether it's more difficult situation, Zeh Hashem Kivino Loi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ima Anoichi B'Tzara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. And as long as all of us are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what counts. But there's a beautiful vart from the B'nai Yisoschar. The B'nai Yisoschar says, Lo Yayim Tovim LiYisrael Ketu Ba'av. We pronounce it 15 days in Av. But the B'nai Yisoschar says, it's Ketu, like the 15th letter, Ba'av means in the Aleph Beis. What is the 15th letter of the Aleph Beis? The 15th letter of the Aleph Beis is the letter Samach. Samach is a round circle. And what we're saying is that there's no greater Yom Tov than two Be'aleh Beis. When all of Klal Yisrael are in a circle, when everybody's in a circle, everybody is equidistant to the person in the middle, to the midpoint of the circle. A square or a rectangle, not everybody who's around the center is equidistant to the center. But when it's two ba'av, when it's two in the alabes, when we're all equidistant, that's when that's the greatest simcha. Another pshat that I saw from the Rimmon of a Rebbe is that actually this circle will be in Gehenim. And what the tzaddikim will say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they will be davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help that these people who are in Gehenim, please help that these people should also go out of Gehenim. And when Klal Yisrael is mispalel, when one Jew is mispalel for another Jew, that he should come out of Gehenim, there is no greater simcha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that one Jew cares for another Jew. I saw another pshat that when Mashiach comes, when we're going to be in Gan Eden, there's going to be, every tzaddik is going to have moda b'fnei atzmar. Everybody's going to have their own place. But when Mashiach ultimately comes, when it'll be after, when Mashiach comes, all of the tzaddikim will be taken out of their individual rooms, out of their individual apartments, and they'll all be together. When they'll all be together, that will be the biggest simcha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Yaakov explains that in this world, particularly because of all the tzaris that we suffer in this world, people aren't able to really have simcha. But when Mashiach comes, and we all will see the godless Hashem, it will be a day that there will be tremendous Kiddush Hashem, then will be a day of true simchas. And that's why I saw the Mefarshim explain, what do we do when we come to a wedding or we come to a simcha? We dance. And we're saying that this simcha should be like the ultimate simcha that we will enjoy with the being of Mashiach. And just like Al Gemara says, that when Mashiach comes, we're all going to be dancing in the circle with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We take the chas and kala and we put them in the middle of the circle and we say that this home that we're building now with this marriage should be the beginning of the ultimate simcha, the simcha of Bias Mashiach ben Herab Yameinu. Nagila v'nismecha b'Yeshuasai. When we recognize that our Yeshua comes only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when a person recognizes that everything that he has only comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source for all simcha, that is the greatest simcha. And when we celebrate and we recognize that, we takab will bring with that understanding that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that we're here to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each in our own way, but to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is what we are here for in the world. Nagila v'nismecha b'Yeshuasai, we will be zoicha to the Yeshuas Hashem, b'dizgalus kvoit shemayim b'mehera b'yameinu amen. Hanerloch b'shloish aprokim b'slikoloch b'sechta tainus.